Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And because Pastor messes up, we can go to the Word and get fixed up. Can I get an amen, church? And that's where we're going to go. We are continuing in our sermon series. In fact, this is our last installation, for it's time for a checkup. We're looking at the verses of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. So you may turn there in your Bibles, and that way you are ready when I'm ready to rock and roll, and I'm going to turn there while I'm talking. Because as we turn to these scriptures and we understand this last command that was given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're going to be finding some things out here, and I think we already know. I mean, it's been preached on so many times, and not that it's old, but that it's something that is part of who we are yet becoming. Because as I look at our world, and you know, when I tell somebody to go, is it a once and done thing when we look at the Word of God? Is it a once and done item? I go out one time and now I'm finished with this. No, because Jesus wants us to understand something here, so therefore I'm going to break it down as to the Greek word that's here and what it means in our English. Because, you know, how many of you are worried what the Greek word is? Yeah, that's what I thought. Most of us, yeah. I don't care what the Greek word is. Pastor, tell me what it means, okay? Because the translation is good. Don't get me wrong. The translation is good. But it's understanding the context of the Greek word that truly gives us the impetus as to what the Lord is saying. So let us begin with this final command. All these 6 weeks prior, we were reading the first two. Now, you get this last one Sunday, so that means I got to get it right, right? Yeah. Here we go, from verse 18, in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, we read these words. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. Now, it amazes me today because, you know, how many of you think Pastor's got both oars in the water? How many of you hope Pastor has both oars in the water? Yeah. The reality is, what did this scripture just invoke? It invoked the Holy Spirit, didn't it? It invoked Jesus Christ, and it invoked the Father. What's today? I told you all earlier, but I didn't tell the folks out there on internet land what today is. Today is Trinity Sunday, where we celebrate the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So how comes all of a sudden here we are on Trinity Sunday and we've got a scripture that invokes all three? Do you think God's putting something together for us to understand that, folks, please understand where we are? Remember, look through that big front windshield. Don't keep looking through the little rearview mirror because you're heading for a wreck. God has things in control in front of you, and that also means He's got the past covered. So as we are going, we're to be looking forward because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit got it covered. And as we look at this Trinity Sunday and where we are and moving into this reality, He says all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto Him. Well, that tells us something if we read between the lines. What does that tell us? Do you realize that at one point God did not have total control over a certain section of this world, of this creation? And can anybody tell me what that was? What was that, church? Y'all don't want to answer because it's, I don't want to get this wrong, right? Yeah. God did not have control over death. Who brought death into being? Satan did. God told us that it was going to come, but Satan is the one who brought it into being. God had to create this place where those who died would be able to go, because without death, there was no need for us to go anywhere. But as soon as death came, God had to prepare this place. Who had the keys of death? Satan. They were in Satan's hand. And guess who gave them to him? We did. He created them, but we gave him the power to create it. Remember, he's an angel. He can't create these big almighty things, but he created death that we would die. However, God, loving us, created Sheol, the place for us to go. But death was still mastered by Satan. And those who died righteously, because you still die, God had to have a place for them to go. So Sheol was divided into two portions. It was divided into Abraham's bosom and Hades. Hades is what we know as hell. Who was in control of hell? Satan. That one little place was in his control. And now all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to him. Why? Because when he descended into hell, he took the keys from Satan's hand. Because he defeated death. He resurrected from death. While he was there, he preached to those who were in hell as to who he is and what they have done, and they believed. And Satan, at that moment, was defeated. Our sin was defeated on the cross. Satan was defeated in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now we have life eternal through our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father created the place, the Son entered it, and the Holy Spirit got him out. Do you see why we celebrate Trinity this day? Because it shows us that there is a freedom, there is a liberty in life. But it costs something. And tomorrow is Memorial Day. Tomorrow we remember all the men and women who have served this nation and died. Okay, we thank those who have served this nation and survived. But we need to remember the cost. Arlington Cemetery, Indian Town Gap National Cemetery, all the national cemeteries and many of our local cemeteries that have the flags planted in them, from people going back all the way to the Civil War and some of them to the Revolutionary War. We remember the cost. Life is not free. Life costs life. And Christ paid it for you and I. And now he says that all authority is his. He says, what? Go. Go ye into all the nations. Well, when he says go ye, does that mean you need to pack up and move to Australia? How many of you would like to move to Australia? You know, that might be fun. Yeah, Mitch raises his hand over there. You know, there are many places in our world. How many of you would like to move to Hawaii? Yeah, a couple of hands go up, you know. Yes, we would love to go to some places, but what about the places that aren't so nice? We're to go into all the nations. Does that mean you have to go? Well, I want you to understand something about this going that Jesus is talking about here. And this is how it translates in the Greek. It says, as you travel, as you traverse, as you live, as you go forth on one's way, on your journey, as you walk. That's the meaning of this word. So as you are living your life, no matter where you are, God's not telling you you have to go to Africa. He may tell you that. He may tell you that, you know, we have Chuck and Wayne that went to Nicaragua, went I can't remember the other country that they went to down there. And, you know, when we think about where these men have gone out of our midst, did God keep them there? Miss Dottie, did Wayne come home? Yes, he did. Beg pardon? Vanuatu, that was a thank you. When we think about these very realities, God may send you somewhere but bring you back. It is as you are living, as you are going about your life, as you and I are traversing this globe, as we are journeying in our walk, wherever we are, what are we supposed to do? Well, the scripture is very clear here. It says, make disciples of all nations. What does it mean to make a disciple? Well, that means you have to teach them. That means you have to be something, not just do something. How many people have a job and we do it? How many of us are so good at our job that it defines who we are? I mean, I want you to think about that. The people that do their jobs the best, they literally, they have been, I swear, engineered by God to be that thing. Because it is intrinsically who they are, okay? And I'm sure you've all met people like that in your life, where you come into a place of being and all of a sudden everything clicks, okay? You know, I'm going to pick on him over here now because we're supposed to be teachers. And we have a wonderful teacher who was just celebrated this last week, given a wonderful, beautiful honor. And I thank you for what you're doing out there, Brother Matt, because God has put you into that place where He has made you to shine. Not just a teacher, but a teacher of teachers. I mean, come on, folks. When we think about how God will take us and make us something, you know, were you planning on being that when you were a little boy? No. If you were like me, you wanted to be a cowboy or a fireman or a police officer. But it's amazing that as we are going, as we are looking at that big front window instead of that little rearview mirror that keeps us locked into the past, what God has available to us. So as we think about where are you going, what are you going to do as you walk forward, as you're going, we are to go and be the mouthpiece of God. Do you understand that? We are not to be simply a person who comes to church and sits in the pew and leaves here and says, oh, wasn't that wonderful? I did my Christian duty. No, you are to be a Christian, which means you are to be transformed by the Word of God. And if you have to, speak. Our lives are to show what we have become and what we are becoming. That's why that picture of the front windshield is so important. Today, we got to share, some of us, we're starting new members class, we got to share our testimony. That stuff's all in the past. Can I get an amen, folks? It's in the past. It's part of us. We don't forget it, but we don't let it control us, do we? Because we're moving forward. We're moving forward, and we're meeting God. And in meeting God, we get to speak those realities and those revelations one to another as we walk. And if you have to, speak. How do you speak it otherwise? By living it, by being this very thing. And then people are going to say, what makes you so different? Now you got an open door to a sit-down talk. When we walk in such a way as to truly interact with an individual, you know, there's a reason that you're here. And it's not because I'm that good, because I'm not. But the Holy Spirit is. Can I get an amen? The Word of God is. Can I get an amen? And it's because of Him that we are here. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for Him. And if I weren't preaching the word of truth, full and unadulterated, I pray you wouldn't be here. Because there's enough of that stuff out there in the world. But when we truly submit ourselves to God and remember whose authority are we going in? His, not ours. I have nothing to give you. But I have the Christ who's got all authority, and He's in me, and may I let Him out by living it in front of you. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. I want to show you what this looks like. From the book of Acts, we're going to chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. And we are going to begin in verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. An angel spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached to Jesus. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When we read these words, what's going on here, folks? Was Philip doing something, or was he being something? Number one, he was available to God, that the Spirit spoke to him and he moved. So he was being something. Yes, he was doing a something at the same time, but he was being something. He was being obedient to the Lord, and then he became a teacher. Did you see the transition? From doing something to be obedient to the word, all of a sudden the question is opened up, and now he gets to become a teacher because he's already lived through all this stuff. He knows who the one is who was slain. He knows who the one is whose generations were taken away. He knows. So what's he do? He speaks. He becomes something. And that's what Jesus is talking about here from the book of Matthew when he says, "Go ye therefore into all the nations." As we are moving out, and God knew that the church was going to disperse, that the church was going to grow, that the church was going to move out. God knew that it was going to spread out from Jerusalem into Samaria unto all the ends of the earth. And that's where we are today. And we're still moving to the ends of the earth. We have Pastor Vergat over there in India who's preaching the word to peoples who've never heard it before. We've got Pastor Brito here in the United States reaching out into the churches that we can send more missionaries out in India. We've got Pastor Jim Barnes who is connecting with churches who are lost because of denominationalism and mainline theology, and they want to get back to the very truth of the word. So the Evangelical Association is bringing in these churches, and they are hungering for truly pastors who speak the truth and the word of God. We do it with the LCCM and the Lebanon Rescue Mission and the Alive Ministries. When we think of all that we do, we are constantly going out. But are we going out? As you are out there in your life, as you are at the place of work, at your place of work, as you are at your kitchen table with your family, are you being a Christian? Are you being that life that's changed? Or are you reverting back to looking through that rearview mirror and getting locked into that thing? You know that's what Satan wants. He wants us all to get locked into that thing that was because it's comfortable. It's like that old sweater that you have that's stretched five times bigger than it should be, but you just won't throw it away because it's so comfortable. I have like four pairs of shoes. They are completely and totally worn out. They look like garbage, but because they fit so comfortably well, guess where they are? They have a prized place right under my bed that when I get out of bed, they're right there for me to slip on my feet. Anybody else would throw them away. Why don't we throw that old stuff away? That stuff that just keeps us coming back, giving us an excuse to remember. And why aren't we moving forward into the newness of Christ Jesus? It says the old is gone and the new has come. And that every day is new in Jesus Christ. You know, I hate the idea of modernism because of what it means in our society. But if we think about it in the way God has shown it to us, that newness means transformation, doesn't it? It means the change back to the image of God. Now, here's the oxymoron of it. What did I just say? The change back. When did we look like the image of God? You talk about in the rearview mirror, we can't even see that in the rearview mirror. But God is leading us forward into it, that we will be reborn in Jesus Christ. Are you getting these pictures? Because as we are reborn, now we're reformed. Yeah, and guess what? Your pastor's a reformed theologian. Because I believe in the regenerative word of God Almighty, and He transforms us. We are reformed every day that we submit ourselves, and we can help to reform our world once again. That's why we're to go. Because we have learned to love God. We have learned to love Him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, and with all our soul. Are we good at it? Well, we're getting there. There's more for us to do, isn't it? How about loving others? Or how was your checkup? How many of you need to go back and maybe revisit the doctor a couple of times on that? And you all know who the doctor is, right? He's our great physician. We need to get that straightened out. And I'll guarantee you, on our going, we're still going to have to go see the doctor because he wants us to get it out there. You know, this is the one doctor that I don't mind seeing because guess what? He already paid the bill. I get to go see him whenever I want. I don't have to make an appointment. And I don't get charged for house calls. You and I need to remember who the great physician is, what he has in store for us. And as we look at Philip, you know, I want us to think about where this is, what he is doing. God doesn't want us just to do something, but to become someone, to become a person that is going out, that as we are going, that we are literally discipling people. That means our lives are changed. Because if you are truly loving God and loving others according to the Scripture, your life is going to be the Scriptures. Does that make sense? Because it's only that truth that allows us to go in any form of hope. Otherwise, all we're going to give people is all our junk. How many of you want to keep your junk? I think it's amazing. Do you realize that's why we hoard things? Because of the lives we've lived and all that stuff that's behind us, we hoard things. Why? Well, you never know when I might not have this. I can't wait for the day that I don't have all this. I want to go forward. And I'll guarantee you there's a lady right there that's glad we don't have a whole lot of that stuff back here no more. Next year we celebrate 40 years. I didn't think that was humanly possible. You know, I want you to think about that. We hear these numbers, 63. 63. Yeah, Miss Teresa. I thought it was because it just stuck in my 63 years married. Was it 63 years of ease? No. But it was 63 years of God's glory. He was there the whole time, wasn't he? And I'm going to tell you, I can't wait. Sweetie, I can't wait to see the next 40. Just think what we'll look like. I want to go. I want to preach this word of truth. I want to give the hope of Jesus Christ. I want my life to show it. I don't want to just preach it. I want to be Him. I want people to see Him when they look at me. Now, yes, I'm not saying I'm Jesus, and you know, that goes off on a whole different, that is psychosomatic stuff, and you know I'm not there. But when people look at Rich Dubs, the man who's all screwed up, I want them to see the love of Jesus Christ, the hope of Jesus Christ, that even a mess like me can be the glory of God if I submit to Him. And we can all be transformed. And life is worth the living. I mean, you know, I look out there, the sun is shining, it is beautiful. How many of you heard the thunderclaps last night? I was like, oh man, don't tell me tomorrow is going to be a miserable rainy day. And it's not, is it? Now, yes, we do have storms in our lives, but God says, go ye therefore. All authority is His. All of it's been given to Him. Would you stop letting the storms of life control you? He's over the storms. And He will get you through the storms. Because the storms are for us. The storms of life are for us to grow through with one another. Because if we aren't in the storms together, we're never going to meet anybody else. How many of you realize it's when you're in the throes of all the ugly stuff, that's when you meet the most people? It's like, why do I have to meet them now? Things are horrible. Well, guess what? That's the way God purposed it and planned it. Because as you are, so too shall you show yourself. And so too will people reach into your life. Together we walk this road. I want you to think about the Apostle Paul. In chapter 9, the very next chapter from what we just read, we have the introduction of Paul into our lives. Was Paul a good person at first when his name was Saul? No, absolutely not. He was a persecutor and a murderer of the early church. And he thought he was doing a righteous thing, didn't he? Until what? Until he met Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus knocked him off his high horse and literally made him blind. Can you imagine what it would be like to look into the perfectness of Jesus Christ and then have to look back into this world? That's exactly what happened to Paul. That's why he went blind, because all his eyes could see were darkness. And when he was confronted with the light, what happened? He went blind. How many of you understand that reality? How many of us, you know, you go outside and it's snowy, what happens? You can't see, can you? Or when you're outside and it's like that and you come inside the dark house, what happens? Again, you can't see because your eyes have to adjust. And that's what Paul's life, you know, that's what that story is really all about. Yes, he literally physically went blind, but it was talking about the spiritual blindness that had to be ripped from his eyes, ripped from his life, and no more. You and I need to be that very same person. That we are walking into the brightness of Christ so much that we are so physically changed that we can no longer stand to be in the darkness. And that we are truly people of light. The book of James, if you would please. It's my last scripture for today. Book of James, chapter 1. This is a scripture that many of us know. Many times has been quoted. We're going to be in James chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 22 and read through 25. James chapter 1, verse 22. Thus saith the word of the Lord. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now, Pastor, you just said we're supposed to be the Word, not just do the Word. Do you realize that is exactly what this Scripture is telling you? Because it says to us what? We are not to look in the mirror and then turn and forget what we look like. When we look into the mirror, we are to become that reflection. How many of us, when we look into the mirror every day, we are looking at and seeing everything that we have come through and hoping for what is yet to come? Because when I look in the mirror, I look and I see this 61-year-old man, but I am looking at 5-year-old Richie Dubs. And I'm remembering all that stuff, all the way back there, all the way forward. Not that I'm living back there, but it's part of that guy in the mirror, isn't it? And we can't forget it. And that's the way we're supposed to be when we come to Christ. Everything that he has taught us, everything that he is bringing us through, that is now to become our life. Not the stuff that was before him, because he has redeemed those things. He is a redeemer of our lives. He has canceled out the sin that was back there. He has asked us to forgive those people and things that have harmed us. And if we are truly to forgive, because it's only when we can forgive that we can be forgiven, then we can move forward. And that's exactly what this scripture is talking about. Therefore, become doers of the word in the practice thereof, not just the word thereof. That it becomes who we are, what we are, and how we are. When you and I think of where we are right now, and I'm talking to every American citizen right now, I want you to think about how important the words are that I am speaking right now. Does our nation, did our forefathers find hope in these words? Do you want to know there's a reason this nation was founded? From the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. These are the first 5 sentences. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed. Our forefathers understood what it meant to go and to make disciples and to bring freedom into this world, because that's what Jesus does. The truth will set you free. Can I get an amen? And as our forefathers came to this nation under the auspices that they wanted religious freedom, and then they were brought into tyranny that they had no say over anything governmental that would happen here in the United States, because the King of England had all that authority, they said, no, God has given us the authority. All men on earth under a good rule can govern, because God has given us this. The laws of nature presuppose all the laws of government, because the laws of nature cannot be broken, and neither can the God of all that is nature. And that is the God we serve through His Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our forefathers knew what they were doing when they formed this nation. We have to take those privileges back. And yes, they're privileges because we can give them up. Did you read that last sentence with me? Because it is by the consent of the governed that these things happen. I do not give my consent. And that needs to be where we stand. We need, therefore, to go teaching all these nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, Jesus says to us, I will be with you always. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you that you go before us so we do not go alone. And in that, Lord, we celebrate you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For you have taken care of all things, that if we will remember who we are, whose we are, as the book of James has just told us, that we would be Christ in this world. Not that we are Christ, but that the image thereof would be shown forward, and when we need to, then to speak, to teach, and to bring others into this union that you have created. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, and now, O Lord, we give our lives that we may go loving you, loving others, that the kingdom of Jesus Christ may truly bring salvation to all who would believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.